From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues his fourth message on the subject of the law of God. This week, Dr. Cairns is focusing on the terrible truth of the curse of God's law. The text is Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. During this message, Dr. Cairns is seeking to bring sinners face to face with the terrible consequences of ignoring and breaking God's law. We saw, first of all, that the law exposes sin for what it really is, and it's only when a person sees the full implications of God's law that he will understand the seriousness of sin and the awful fate that awaits those who die unrepentant. Then the law condemns sinners for their sin, for all who fail to render a complete and perfect obedience are under God's curse. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message called The Curse of the Law. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's meditation comes from Jude, verse 24. Faultless before the presence of His glory. Revolve in your mind that wondrous word, faultless. We are far off from it now. But as our Lord never stops short of perfection in His work of love, we shall reach it one day. The Savior, who will keep His people to the end, will also present them at last to Himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish. All the jewels in the Savior's crown are of the first water and without a single flaw. All the maids of honor who attend the Lamb's wife are pure virgins without spot or stain. But how will Jesus make us faultless? He will wash us from our sins in His own blood until we are white and fair as God's purest angel, and we shall be clothed in His righteousness, that righteousness which makes the saint who wears it positively faultless, yea, perfect in the sight of God. We shall be unblameable and unreprovable even in His eyes. His law will not only have no charge against us, but it will be magnified in us. Moreover, the work of the Holy Spirit within us will be altogether complete. He will make us so perfectly holy that we shall have no lingering tendency to sin. Judgment, memory, will, every power and passion shall be emancipated from the thraldom of evil. We shall be holy, even as God is holy, and in His presence we shall dwell forever. Saints will not be out of place in heaven. Their beauty will be as great as that of the place prepared for them. Oh, the rapture of that hour when the everlasting doors shall be lifted up, and we, being made meet for the inheritance, shall dwell with the saints in light. Sin gone, Satan shut out, temptation past forever, and ourselves faultless before God, this will be heaven indeed. Let us be joyful now as we rehearse the song of eternal praise, so soon to roll forth in full chorus from all the blood-washed host. Let us copy David's exultings before the ark as a prelude to our ecstasies before the throne.
Gracious Master, Knight, my God, assist me to proclaim.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
thing the law does. It exposes sin for what it really is. The second thing it does is that it condemns sinners for their sin. Cursed, our text says. Cursed, underline the word. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. What is the meaning of that text? In simple everyday English, it means that all who fail to render a complete and perfect obedience to God's law are under God's curse. Isn't that clear? Every man who fails to render a total and perfect obedience to God's law in all its fullness is under God's curse. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to the Jews of his day? John 7, verse 19. None of you keepeth the law. Would he not say the same here tonight? Can you tonight not look beyond this preacher and beyond this pulpit? Gaze into the searching eye of the Son of God. Can you not hear his voice as he fixes that eye on you and says, none of you keepeth God's law, and therefore are under God's curse. The word curse is really a terrible word. Among men, a curse is usually spoken with ill will and malevolence. It's what's called a malediction, an evil saying. A curse is really a wish for some evil to fall upon the one on whom you place that curse. That's the curse among men. But that's not so with God. When God curses, he does not express a wish. He pronounces a judgment. A judgment on one who, according to his law, is worthy of his wrath. Now that is the curse of the words of our text. It's the righteous judgment of a holy God pronounced in strict accordance with God's holy law. Now that makes this text a very serious statement for sinners. You see, by nature, sinners are inveterate rebels. Men are determined sinners. Sin is not only something they do. Sin is something they serve. That's the language of Scripture. They serve. Sin, Paul tells the Romans, rules in their heart. Sin governs the principles of action in their soul. Listen to Romans 7, verse 23. Paul says, I see another law in my members. Underline the words, law in my members. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Now, what is that law? I pointed out in a former study that you've got to be careful studying the subject of the law in Scripture, because the word law is used in many, many different ways, even in the same context. What is this law of sin in the members? It is a principle of wickedness, a principle of evil that rules like a monarch in the soul and impels that man to rebellion against God. It sounds very good, and it is very popular to believe that sin is merely something negative. I remember in what we called a divinity class in our school back in Belfast, we had to study a book called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. I am not at all advocating C.S. Lewis as a trustworthy theologian. I'm simply saying we had to study it. And one of the great ideas that he was pushing is that sin is a mere negation. It is something always negative. There's a sense in which I can go along with that if by negative you mean a rebellion against God. But sin, my friend, is not merely negative. Sin is a very active, positive, self-seeking, self-serving, God-hating, Christ-dishonoring principle. It sets itself up in the throne of the soul. It reigns as an absolute monarch. It has more power over the soul than any Caesar ever had over the empire. So deep is this principle of evil in the soul of man that everything a man does is corrupted and depraved. Does he read his Bible? He brings to that Bible reading a heart of corruption, filth, and arrogant rebellion against God. Does he bow his knees to pray? Even as he bows his knees, his heart rises up in rebellion against God. Does he touch anything? He sullies it with the filth of his touch. That's something the biblical truth of the total depravity of the soul of man. Because sin is not just what man does. Sin is the monarch man serves. Sin is this inherent principle. So evil is it that it even makes God's holy law an occasion for sin. Does this in many ways. For instance, it decries all divine authority. It is sin which rises up within your breast and says, what right has God to ruin my fun? What right has the church to come preaching as this preacher preaches, to try to put the brakes in my own life and my own ideas? I'm hurting nobody. I want to do my thing. What is that? That is this evil monarch of sin rising up and decrying the very right of your Creator to be your lawgiver. Then, of course, it works very, very subtly by taking the very thing that the law prohibits and making it desirable. Paul deals with this at some length in Romans 7, that when the law says, thou shalt not, this monarch of sin so twists and turns that he takes that forbidden thing, as Satan did the forbidden fruit, and makes it the most desirable thing in the world, so that the very law of God is perverted by inherent sin as an occasion, an opportunity to drive you deeper into rebellion against God. Now, put all that together, and what have you got? You've got a terrible picture. Governing his soul. Man has in him a law of rebellion. And then in the book of the law, God has written his law of retribution. That's why I said the statement of our text is a very serious one for sinners. There's a law within every man, a law of sin. And then there is that law of God written by the finger of God that calls forth doom and damnation on that sin. That's why Paul calls God's law the law of sin and death. The law of death. What is God's law for the sinner? It's a law of death. He wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3, and he said, "The letter killeth." Again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I do need to say that there are so many superficial preachers running around telling you that Paul means that strict compliance with the Scripture is a deadly thing, and really you should come and have a very loose compliance. That's not what he's talking about. When he says, "The letter killeth," in context he's saying, the law. That's the letter of the law he's talking about. The law killeth. He calls it the ministration of death. He calls it the ministration of condemnation. It is a law of death. As he wrote to the Romans, the wages of sin is death. That death is real. I want you to understand that. This is the curse of God's law. That death is real. That death is personal. That death is total, physical, spiritual, and then eternal. You remember those terrible words of Revelation 20 when John in vision saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books were opened. Men on earth may shut the book of God's law and live their lives in total defiance of that law. But hear me well, my friend. There is going to come a day when God will open the book and no man will shut it. The books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. He describes how the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell, or death and the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is what? The second death. This is the law of death executing its curse. The law exposes sin for what it is. The law condemns sinners for their sin. Never fall for the devil's lie that because God is a God of love, he will abrogate his law and he will never condemn sinners. The law condemns sinners for their sin.
You've been been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.